So here's what I want you to do, okay? I want you to think about the best meal that you've ever had. Take a moment. Think about the best meal you've ever had. Where was it? What was the atmosphere like? Who did you eat it with? Now, don't hang out there forever. We've got to come back and listen to the rest of the sermon. Right? Because I know you have a good memory about that. We've all had that, you know? What's your best meal memory? And here's why I want you to emotionally connect with this. Because two things happen when we have a meal. Number one, we're enjoying our friends who are with us. And number two, we're welcoming people to become our friends, right? I think we've got some slides. There we go. So you see, this is why the Bible talks about fellowship. That's where God's people eat meals and do life together as friends. The Bible also talks about hospitality. And that literally means the welcoming of the stranger. So you're taking people that you don't know yet and you're having a meal with them because that's an act of friendship. That's saying, come to my house, sit at my table, and we'll start to build a friendship. So when we eat meals, what we're really doing is making friends. Now, Jesus says some things in today's scripture reading that are rather hard to understand. He says, this is my body, this is my blood. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life. And if we're listening closely, and we're not simply glossing over those words because we've heard them 1,000 times, we might very likely have a reaction pretty similar to the Jews in the scripture we're told about, right? Slight bewilderment about how can this be? That would be a best case scenario. I mean, maybe just out and out skepticism or a revulsion at worst. I mean, we're to eat your flesh, Jesus? Yuck. Really? I mean, right? Think about what we're saying here. So here's the question, though. Here's the question. And I'm going to see if we can get the toothpaste back into the tube theologically on this, okay? Because what happens is Jesus says this, and then all these interpretations come out. And then the question is, did he mean that literally? And people then and now, you know, that gets kind of weird when we take that literally, right? Well, I want to say that there are two kinds of literal. Now, I know it's summertime, and we're not supposed to be in school or studying hard or anything like that, but, you know, okay, but just listen, okay? So, because there's plain literal and figurative literal, okay? We do that with the Bible. We do that in all literature. We do that in conversation that we have all the time, plain literal and figurative literal. So if I tell you, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse, yes or no, I want to eat a horse. No, if you bring me a horse, I'll say, well, that's, no, I wanted a cheeseburger, you know? But then you'll say, well, you're a hypocrite. No, I'm using a metaphor, you know, right? And you're being dogmatic and no fun and, well, okay, right? We get into it and we go back and forth. And so we use metaphors, right? We use them all the time. We use analogies and similes and modes of talk, and it doesn't mean that we're not communicating a literal truth. You see, a figurative communication can still articulate a literal truth in a poetic way. And so we believe that this is to be interpreted figuratively, okay? Eating my flesh, drinking my blood. I'll give you some other examples. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Does he have leaves? Do you think if you looked at him, you're like, dude, sure got a lot of leaves on him? No, because it's a figure of speech, right? It's a great one. No doubt, it's a great one, but it's a figure of speech. Another example, Jesus says, I'm the door. You know where I'm going, right? So if you lifted up his toga, would you see hinges? Yes or no? No, there are no hinges. He's hinge-free. Figurative literal. Figurative literal. The gospel writers, they were right, okay? But you get my point, though. So when he says, this is my body, this is my blood, and those who eat my flesh and drink my blood, figure of speech. The United Methodist Church, I looked it up, they affirms the real presence of Christ. That's the language. We affirm the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, in the Lord's Supper. Actually, I looked it up in the Book of Discipline, which is all of our rules and regulations and our theology and the beliefs that we have. And I quote, the bread and wine represent the living presence of Christ among us, though we do not claim, as some denominations do, that they become Christ's body and blood. That's the quote. We use the language of real presence. And so there's a sort of a mysterious presence then of Jesus Christ surrounding the elements with us here, though it's not his actual physical body and blood. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. And so we do. And when we partake, it's not literally Jesus' body and blood, but he is present. Not so much in the elements, but in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when God's people are filled with the Holy Spirit and they gather as God's family and Jesus is honored and remembered and celebrated and sin is repented of, the Holy Spirit really is present with God's people. And it's a sacred moment for the family to honor our big brother Jesus, as we do today. And when we partake in communion, what we're doing is we're doing it together. We're doing it together saying, I'm friends with Jesus, and I'm friends with you, and I'm part of the family. The thing that becomes clear in the telling of the story is that this is not so much about substance as it is about relationship. In John's rendition of the gospel, communion is not so much about remembrance or sacrifice as about abiding. You may have heard that word in there, abiding. When we encounter it in Jesus' statement, whoever eats my flesh will abide in me and I in them. Verse 56, the central verse of this passage. In Greek, the word meno, that's the Greek word meno. It means to remain, to stay, to abide, to live, to dwell, to last, endure, and continue. So rich, huh? So rich. It means to be in an ongoing, intimate relationship of love and trust. You and me, as Jesus says, I in them. It's an intimacy of contact, of togetherness, of literally being one body by being joined through eating flesh and drinking blood. That's the metaphor, you see, oneness. Oneness. And whoever eats this bread, whoever enters into this relationship of spiritual identity, will live forever in that spirit, in the spirit of love. And you'll notice also that communion, well, it comes in the middle of Jesus' life in the Gospel of John, not at the end of his life as it does in the other Gospels. And that changes how we think about communion. For John's understanding of the Eucharist, of Jesus as the bread of life, it shows an open hospitality to the presence of Christ, which is the language that the Methodist Church talks about and understands. See, for John, communion is not so much connected with Jesus' death, but rather with his life. It's with his life. And there's an understanding that Jesus becomes part of you, just as you become a part of him, that he travels through your system. He shapes who you are, physically, spiritually, emotionally. So we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to share one's flesh and blood? It gets at the heart of what it is to be a human, doesn't it? Think of how we use this term in relationship to our children. We speak of them as our flesh and blood, right? And are we not God's children? And is it therefore such a stretch to speak of us as partaking of God's flesh and blood, of Jesus' flesh and blood? It's a figure of speech, and it's true, and it's true. So I'll tell you the easiest way to build friendship with somebody is to have a meal and pray together. eat together, pray together. So let's say you're struggling with your friends, try to resolve it over a meal. Start it, end it, bathe it in prayer. That's how things get worked out relationally. So what I would encourage you this week, think about, who do you need to invite over for a meal? Friends, family, neighbors, co-workers, fellow students, enemies? How many of you know the names of all your neighbors? Maybe not all of you. I don't. Oh, I hate to admit, but it's true. We just don't always know all of our neighbors. You know, invite them over for a meal. And when they ask you, say, well, you know what? This is what the kingdom of God is like. It's like a big meal. And Jesus loves you. Let me get that right. It's like a big meal. I got to say it right. Are you? It's like a big meal. And Jesus loves us. And he loves you. And we love you. And what would you like to eat? You know? And if they're vegan, cook vegan. If they like steaks, kill something. Yeah? Whatever it is, love them. Love them and serve them and welcome them and practice hospitality. Because barbecue. You know, have people over, go to the park, make it awesome. Make it awesome. And you know, it's an act of worship. It's an act of worship. You know, it's to the glory of God and it's to the good of others. And it's showing that God is loving and God is good to us like a parent who loves a family and brings them together for dinner. And we want other people to meet our dad and to join our family. Amen? Amen. In John 6, Jesus promises life eternal to those who eat his body and drink his blood. Life eternal is the fourth gospel's way of speaking about what the other three gospels call the kingdom of God. In the 54th verse of chapter 6, life eternal, it's given right now. It's given right now. It's not waiting till later. See, not only is the verb in the present tense, now, life eternal, but the word for life that's used, zoe, it refers to the basic principle of life itself, not just an individual biological life, but in other words, life in touch with the source of all of life. And thus, life that never dies. As the communion prayer puts it, Almighty God, you provide the true bread from heaven, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant that we who have received the sacrament of his body and blood may abide in him and he in us, that we may be filled with the power of his endless life, now and forever. Amen.